Prosecutors and school administrators traveled to Pierre earlier this week to stand up for Senate Bill 67. That bill allows judges to more easily send troublesome juveniles to the supervision of the Department of Corrections. The bill undoes some of the reforms of 2015, when the state passed the Juvenile Justice Reinvestment Initiative. The initiative's purpose is to lower the juvenile incarceration rate and provide children with needed services within their communities. The law also requires reserving DOC out-of-home placements for the worst offenders and creates a presumption of probation for juveniles committing nonviolent or status offenses. A status offense is behavior that would not be illegal for an adult. Think running away or truancy, smoking, drinking, and so on. Testifying against Senate Bill 67 were officials from DOC, the Department of Social Services, the Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and the work group charged with making the 2015 initiative work. SDPB's Victoria Wicks listened to testimony given on Tuesday to bring us more of this story.
We have a juvenile female that came into our system at the age of 11. She's now 15. She came into the system because she was doing very risky behaviors online, talking to adult men, meeting these men, engaging in sexual relations with these men.
Chris White is the state's attorney in Brown County. He testifies in favor of SB 67 before the Senate Judiciary Committee, telling senators the story of a 15-year-old child whose behavior seems incorrigible.
The judge has told her she can't be on the internet, social media, different electronic devices, computers. She doesn't listen to the judge. She continues to do these things.
White says Aberdeen, as the third largest city in the state, has community services to offer, but none of them are capable of dealing with this girl. Because she is committing status crimes, she won't be sent to DOC.
Put all of the community resources we had, exhausted all those resources into this child to help fix the problem. Unfortunately, in our community, we don't have behavioral health services that child needs.
White is one of several state's attorneys to testify. Others come from Hughes, Brookings, Clay, Minnehaha, Lyman, and Pennington. They testify that in the counties with small populations, community services are scarce or non-existent.
We are not here asking for unfettered discretion to send a bunch of juveniles to kid jail.
Roxanne Hammond is Hughes County State's Attorney. She says the same kids create multiple problems that aren't severe enough to send them to DOC, but their actions carry a price paid by the community.
I can tell you horror stories from serving in the juvenile justice system where we have kids who will commit repeated crimes, and they are not bad enough crimes are going to send them to DOC, but they are causing damage within our community. We have multiple times that juveniles are breaking into businesses. They're causing damage to the construction. They are stealing. And none of those things are strong enough to send them to DOC, but there's a cost to the community in multiple ways.
Hammond says often the parents' behavior is as bad as the children's, and removing these kids to DOC is sometimes the most helpful thing to do. She says eventually the juvenile's behavior escalates to crimes that do qualify for DOC placement. Some proponents testified that their counties would send just a couple of children to DOC every year. Others have a much greater caseload. Pennington County sends more juveniles to DOC than any other county, even though Rapid City has about 100,000 fewer residents than Sioux Falls.
The two or three naughtiest kids take about 50% of the teacher's time, and that's where our probation officers are.
Pennington County State's Attorney Mark Vargo offers that analogy during his testimony. Vargo participated in the working group that crafted the 2015 initiative. He says he fought hard to preserve an option for the judge to make an unfettered decision that the best course of action is to send juveniles to DOC rather than having to put them on local probation as the initiative requires.
So this has not just a negative impact on these children who we believe need something different than what we're giving them, but it has a ripple effect on the amount of time, effort, and resources that we have available to place on the other children who may not be quite as at risk to keep them from ever getting to this level.
Like Roxanne Hammond, Vargo says he doesn't want to wait until the child has committed an offense serious enough to earn a DOC placement or worse.
You don't want these kids to end up in a correctional institution only after they've been transferred to adult court as violent felons.
It isn't just prosecutors who want to go back to the old system of dealing with children.
Prior to the passage of the juvenile justice reforms, it just seemed there was less disruption in our schools.
Rob Munson is executive director of School Administrators of South Dakota.
We didn't have some of these students in the hallways that were having to be managed and dealt with to the best of our ability. And these young kids are smart. They have absolutely figured out the system and are back in our schools in the blink of an eye, and we're having to manage these students and deal with them.
Munson says school counselors are overtaxed and not able to manage the students. And if parents choose not to participate, their children don't have to do it either. Munson's comments are echoed by Wade Pogney, executive director of the Associated School Boards of South Dakota.
Schools are pleading with you and pleading to have a public policy discussion about behavioral health, about mental health.
Pogney says the bill gives more strength to a system dealing with out-of-control children, but he adds that finding and dealing with children's issues at an earlier age would avoid later problems, and schools don't have the time and money to do that.
So I'm not only in favor of 67, which is, I think, a small piece, but we have a much broader issue related to behavioral health with our kids. Let's work on that so they don't get to the end game that we're talking about here.
One of the most significant barriers to this bill is that DOC doesn't want to go back to the old juvenile justice system.
South Dakota had the second highest commitment rate for kids in the country in 2013, and the juvenile violent crime rate was one-third the national average.
Christy Bunkers is director of juvenile services for DOC. She testifies against the bill, saying that DOC has seen a lot of changes since 2015, including a drop in the in-custody population.
At one point, not that long ago, we had over 1,000 kids in the custody of the Department of Corrections. And the majority of those kids were probation violators, misdemeanants, and status offenders. Lower-risk kids were making up the greatest share of our probation caseloads, as well as our out-of-home placement beds.
Since 2015, DOC has laid off workers, so Bunker says adding more juveniles to her agency's caseload would require hiring personnel. She says DOC beds in South Dakota are full, with multiple waiting lists, and the most egregious offenders take priority. Other bill opponents included Greg Satizan, state court administrator, and Amy Iverson-Polrez, deputy secretary at the Department of Social Services. They say juvenile reforms haven't been in place for very long, and they asked the committee to give the initiative more time. Four of the six Judiciary Committee members in attendance voted to move SB 67 to the full Senate, and if it passes there, the House Judiciary Committee will hold another hearing. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.